Justement. Alléluia. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your strength that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your interventions that we get through prayers every day. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your power that is solving our problems. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you for making impossible things possible in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for subduing Satan, pain, sicknesses, demons, diseases on our feet. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us in victory over the enemy. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing miracles in our lives to encourage our faith and you put our enemies to shame. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the healings and deliverances you have done among us through this program. Thank you for more of your healings and deliverances we are still going to experience. Thank you, Lord. We are here this morning to seek your face and to pray. Ask you, Lord, that you meet with everyone that are here right now. And those that will still join, meet with every one of us in your power. Change our situations. Help us and meet us at the point of our need. Thank you, Lord, for we know you will do all these things. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And I welcome every one of you to the Lord's praises. We're going to continue from our teaching. Continue with our teaching. So we'll move to part four. For those of you that have been following this program, we started to look at Isaiah 53. And we want to understand more about Jesus in that passage of the Bible. Because the entire chapter of Isaiah 53 was dedicated to Jesus, was talking about Jesus. So we want to understand more of Jesus in Isaiah 53. So today we are going to continue. Now we are moving to verse 6. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Let us read it. Open your Bibles to that place. Isaiah 53. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So today we are looking at understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 4. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 4. We're going to be looking at 4 points. The first point says, he came for the lost. He came for the lost. He came for the lost. And Jesus came into this world because we have gone astray. According to that passage, that was why he came. Because we have gone astray. It says we went in our own way. So which means we left God's ways and followed our own ways. But that was why he came. Because we were disconnected from God. We lost connection with God. That was why he came. So he came for the lost. He came for the lost. And everyone that is a Christian today have once been lost. Yeah. Every one of us that we are Christians today, we have once been lost. But Jesus saved our souls. He brought us out of our darkness and sin unto himself and unto God. Yeah, so So we have once been lost. If you cannot clearly point at the time when you left the ways of the world, the lifestyle of sin, and come to Jesus, then you're not a Christian. Yeah, because I understand that we have many churchgoers. We have many people that associate with Christians and Christian programs, but they are not Christians. We hope you are not one of those people that attend prayer meetings, teaching meetings, preaching programs, but you have not allowed Jesus to save you. I hope you are not one of that, one of such people. If you are, you have to go to Jesus and be saved. Yeah, because Jesus came to save the lost. He didn't came, or he didn't come to heal the sick. He didn't come to raise the dead. He didn't come to perform miracles. He actually came to save the lost. He came for the lost. The lost sheep. Yeah, as you can see in that passage in Isaiah 53 verse 6, it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah, so Jesus came to save the lost sheep. Not to give us some physical blessings. All of those things that we enjoy in Jesus today, I mean, all of those physical blessings like healings, prosperity, they are just a secondary benefit of our salvation. Yeah, they are not the primary reason why we were saved. They are not the primary reason why he came. Yeah. So if you have been following Jesus, you have been fellowshipping with Christians, you have been attending church programs, attending ministry programs, prayer meetings, Bible study, Sunday worship service, and all of that, and you are still lost. You are not wise. And you are very wrong. You are doing a very wrong thing, and you are making a very great mistake. Yeah. Because Jesus actually came to connect you to God, to restore, to reconcile you to God, to restore that fellowship with God that we lost in the Garden of Eden, That was why Jesus came. That personal fellowship with God, personal connection with God, where our spirit is connected to God, who is also a spirit, where our heart is connected to the heart of God. Yeah, that is what Jesus came to do. To restore that connection that we lost from God. That was what Jesus came to do. So if you have not allowed Jesus to do that in your life, all these years you have been calling yourself a Christian and going to church, then you are making a very big mistake. Then it also means you are not wise, because you are playing with your eternal future. Now, there was this testimony of a man who died and then went to heaven. I don't know if I should say heaven, but when he died, God was showing him a lot of revelations of heaven. Yeah, because he came back to life to tell us those revelations. Yeah, so in his testimony, he told us how many people could not proceed to paradise, to heaven. He told us that there are I don't know if I should call it checking points, or there are, maybe I should also call it crying rooms. There are rooms that are halls, big halls, that everyone that died, especially if you died a Christian, in quotes, yeah, he said everyone will pass through that hall. So the hall is like a screening center. Everyone will be screened before they can eventually enter into heaven. Yeah, so he said in that place you cannot claim anything. Your entire life, or the way you lived on earth, is going to be showing on the screen. Everything you have ever done, good or bad, will be appearing on the screen. There's an angel that will call your name, and once you stand before the angel, everything you have ever done in your lifetime on earth will start showing on the screen. In fact, the man said the angel had a strong screening eyes. So once the angel looked at those people from their feet upward, everything they have ever done will start showing on the screen, including all the words they have uttered from their mouth will start showing on the screen. Yeah. So, but the reason why I'm referring to the testimony of that man of God Now, there was a case of someone that was also that went through the screening, and after all that she had done appeared on the screen. Now the angel was so sorrowful. The angel said, the angel made a statement and said, "Why didn't you allow the blood of the Lamb to take away these sins from your life before you came here, before coming here? Yeah, because everyone that appears in that room, in that hall, must have died on head." So the angel looked at the woman, why, and said, "Why didn't you allow the blood of Jesus save you from all these things before you come here?" So the angel just gave it a very powerful shout and said, "Deep." So according to that man, the testimony he gave us, once the angel says depart, a very strong wind will just come from nowhere and pick up the person from that hall straight to hell. The wind is very violent wind. And the wind moves with a great speed. So once you hear the word deep, it means you are going down to hell. Yeah. But that was how many people were being screened in that hall. Yeah. So usually when the details of the life people lived on earth appear on the screen, all the things that the person has been committed before he or she surrendered to Jesus, all of them will be wiped off in the blood of Jesus. For those people who at a point they repented and on the way from their sinful lifestyle and surrender to Jesus. So all the sins they have committed to that point they repented will be wiped off. Now, if they commit any other sin after that time and did not repent and continue to sin, those things will not be wiped off. And that was the reason why many of those dead people could not enter heaven. They were disqualified. Now, this is where I'm going. If at this point in your life, there have never been a time you said no to sin, no to the ways of this world, no to immorality, and yes to righteousness, yes to Jesus, yes to the kingdom of God. If there have never been a time you surrendered your life to Jesus, but you still fellowship with believers, attend church meetings, and programs like this one we're having, then it means you are not for the kingdom of God. It means you are not for heaven. And on the other hand, let's say at the point in your life you actually surrendered to Jesus and said yes to Jesus, but after that time you still continued in sin, you still kept on doing those things you were doing before you said yes to Jesus, then know for sure that heaven is not for you. And then let me also say this. You know, I said in that revelation, the man of God had the revelation of heaven. The angel said, why didn't you allow the blood of Jesus to take away all these sins from your life? Now, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus does not take away sins when the sinner have not repented. Yeah, because some people we say, I'm sure some people we tell the angel, but I ask for forgiveness. And I ask the blood of Jesus to take away these sins. That is not how sins are being taken away. Sins are not being taken away because you asked for forgiveness. Sins are not being taken away because you pleaded for the blood of Jesus to take them away. Sin will be taken away because you turned away from those sins. Yeah, so if you have not repented, which means if you have not stopped sinning, that is what repentance means. It means to stop sinning, to stop disobedience. But if you have not done that, blood of Jesus don't work in such lives. Yeah. Well, if you think I'm wrong, you just continue to sin. And then when you reach that place, you realize that you won't be able to proceed to enter heaven. Yeah, so there is no forgiveness without repentance. And there is no washing away of sins by the blood of Jesus without repentance, without genuine repentance. I pray that the Lord gives you more understanding. We're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 31 to 32. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. 31 to 32. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus came for the lost. And if you are lost, you have to acknowledge that you are lost. Then Jesus will come and save you. If you are sick, you have to acknowledge that you are sick. Then Jesus will come and save you. If you are weak, you have to acknowledge that you are weak. And Jesus will come and save you. Because there are some Christians that they are wrong. They are living in sin. But they don't agree that they are. They think what they are doing is right. Just like those Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeah, they know that they needed help. they know that they've lost, but they will not allow Jesus to save them. I hope you are not like that. I hope you are not full of self-righteousness. Let's say you know that you have a problem with hunger. Why not acknowledge that and say, Jesus, this is my problem. I cannot control my temper. Save me. Very simple. And Jesus will come and save you. So simple. You know you have problem with lust, with pride. Why not just acknowledge the problem? You know you have problem with greed. Why not just acknowledge the problem and let Jesus come and save you? But I've seen many Christians, including servants of God, who have problems and they are not acknowledging that they need help. Now, they are not allowing Jesus to help them, especially spiritual problems, problems with their souls. Yeah, if it were physical problems, many people would want Jesus to help them solve that. But when it comes to problems with our souls, many people don't think it's important. In fact, many people don't want those problems solved. I hope they're not like that. But if you don't solve the problems with your soul today, you might not have a chance again to have them solved. So let us move to point number two. Point number one was, he came for the lost. So point number two says, he is the true shepherd. Jesus is the true shepherd. Now, let us look at that Isaiah 53 verse 6 again. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Let us look at it again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, just as I said during the last Healing Streams program, Jesus was without sin, but because of us, he became sin. Jesus is the only shepherd who gave himself as a ransom. He gave himself as a ransom for our redemption, for our freedom, for our deliverance, for our healing. Now, he gave his life, he laid down his life for the sheep. That is what a true shepherd would do. A true shepherd is that shepherd that is willing to die for the sheep to be free, for the sheep to be saved, And that was what Jesus did. He gave his life. He took our place. We are the ones who deserve death. But he took our place. Now, let's look at John. John chapter 10, verse 11 to 12. John 10, 11 to 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So Jesus is not an hireling. Jesus is the shepherd, the true shepherd. He cares a lot for you. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. Will you let him? Yeah. Will you believe in him? Will you trust him? Yeah, Jesus is the only one that cares for you. Yeah, I have studied the life of human beings, and I realized that at one point, human beings will always care for themselves. First, even the mother of a child, at a point, we prefer ourselves first. We prefer to care for ourselves first before the child. Even the husband or wife, at a certain point, they care for themselves first before the spouse, before caring for the spouse. But there is one person that I know and that I have known for some time now that don't care for himself. All he cares for is you and me. That man, that person is Jesus. Yeah, so if you think some people really care for you is a lie. No one cares for you. Yeah. Now, when I say no one cares for you, I don't mean that you don't have people in your life that don't care for you. But I'm saying that if we measure it by percentage, no one cares for you 100% as Jesus cares. And no one can care for you 100% as he cares. Yeah. But why not value him more than everyone else? Why not value Jesus? Cherish Jesus. Prefer Jesus more than anyone else. Since he's the only one that really cares. Yeah, because we say someone really cares when they don't care for themselves. I mean, in their caring for you, they don't really want anything from you. They just want to take care of you. That is who Jesus is. Yeah, he's not wanting anything from you. He just wants to save you. So if it appears as if he wants some things from you, it is still to save you. Whatever Jesus is asking you to do is to save you. Yeah, is to save you. So literally, he doesn't need anything from you for himself. He just wants to save you. Yeah. He just wants to save you. So, believe in the true shepherd. Trust in him. Stay with him. Stay close to him. And let him help you. Let him save you. When you still have the time. Yeah. I pray you will let Jesus save you. In Jesus' name. Now, we'll move to point number 3. Point number 3. Today's church is a rebellious sheep. The church of today is a rebellious sheep. And naturally, sheep don't struggle with the shepherd. I don't know if you have seen people that rear sheep. If you have seen them before, yeah, you will discover that sheep don't really give their shepherd a hard time. A sheep is a type of animal that is very, very gentle and very obedient. They are very, very obedient. Unlike goats. Yeah, a sheep is such an animal that they don't reject the control of the shepherd. They don't reject or deny the shepherd. They are always very submissive. Yeah, they are very meek. Yeah, but we saw in Isaiah 53 verse 6, it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. So I began to ask myself, does sheep really go astray? Except maybe by mistake, or someone else came and deceived them. Yeah, but naturally, because the sheep have this gentle and obedient nature, a sheep hardly go astray. Yeah, they always follow the shepherd. Yeah, even with a sound, if the shepherd make a sound from a distance, the sheep will recognize that sound and they will follow that sound. So I've got to ask myself, is it normal for sheep to go astray? Yeah, is it common for sheep to go astray, especially when the shepherd is with them, guiding them? Yeah, so I came to the conclusion that to this church and become a different kind of sheep, or maybe I should say to these Christians, become a different kind of sheep. We have become a rebellious sheep. A rebellious sheep. Especially in the area of deliberate disobedience. Intentional sins. Or willful sins. Or presumptuous sins. So the present church at this time, I mean the church that we have today in this world, has become a rebellious sheep. And we are making the ministry of Jesus difficult for him. We are making life difficult for Jesus, who is our shepherd. Because Jesus is still in his church. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the body. So we are the body, he's the head. Now, so Jesus did not just went up to heaven and leave the church. Is with us very closely, just as your head is joined with the rest of your body. So is that, I mean, in the same way is Jesus so close to the church. So we are making life difficult for Jesus by being so rebellious and disobedient. We are making life difficult for him. We are making his ministry to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. We are making it so difficult and impossible. Because today, the church is full of Christians who already have their own way. Yeah, you will see it in that Isaiah 53 verse 6. People who have chosen their own path and they don't want to follow God's path, God's ways. Yeah, people who don't care how God feels about their actions. As long as they are comfortable and pleased with what they are doing, they don't care what God feels or thinks about what they are doing. That is the kind of Christians and ministers that we have in the church today. So we have become a rebellious sheep. We have become disobedient, and we are enjoying it. Yeah, sometimes I'll just look at the church and I will be so sorrowful because we look like mad people. That have lost their mind. People that are insane. Honestly, that's how the church behaves. Yeah. But because we already know the truth. And we are deliberately acting against the truth. And we are enjoying it. So I look at the church and then I look at the children of Israel in the Bible. I don't see any difference. I mean the church of today. And those are stiff-necked, disobedient and rebellious Israelites in the Bible. There's no difference. In fact, maybe we are worse than them. Yeah, is it not madness to be saying something with your mouth and in your heart you mean something else? Is that not madness? You are saying with your mouth that you love God, but in your heart you know you don't love Him. Yeah, that's madness. We are drawing closer, physically drawing near to God, whereas our heart is against God. We are saying, Lord, help me, heal me. But in our hearts, we hate Him. We hate His commandments. So that is insane. Actually, yeah, because it's more like we are turning against ourselves. I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah, it's more like we are turning against ourselves or deceiving ourselves. Yeah, so I pray that you will not be rebellious. I pray that you will be different. Now let us look at Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, that is, covenant breakers. Truce breaker is someone that doesn't keep vows, keep to vows, keep to agreements. False accusers, incontinent. Incontinent means lack of self-control. Just the way you open a tap water and the water keeps gushing out and then you can't control the tap. You can't stop the water from gushing out. So if you're the type that you can talk, and once you start talking, you can't shut up your mouth. You are incontinent. Yeah, or you can watch movies, wasting your time on entertainment. And once you start watching those movies, you can't stop yourself. That is incontinent. So anything that you do, and once you start doing it, you can't control yourself. It means you have incontinence. That's a problem. You need to go to Jesus for deliverance. Yes, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Yeah. I pray you're not like that. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. Let's move to the last point. Point number 4. Selfish people wanting help from selfless Jesus. That is point number 4. Selfish people wanting help from selfless Jesus. That's the kind of Christians that we have today. Self-centered Christians. Selfish Christians. Then they are wanting help from selfless Jesus. There are some things Jesus will not do for you. There are many things God will not do for you until you begin to have the same nature that is in God, in the same nature that is in Jesus. Of course, there are some things God is doing for everyone, even for selfish people. In fact, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these natural gifts, God is doing it for everyone, whether you are good or bad. The rain falls on everyone. Yeah. We plant, even a wicked man will plant seed into the ground. A sinful man will plant into the ground. And the thing will grow. The seed will grow. That is God's goodness. Natural gift. Natural grace. And in fact, even in the church, selfish people, they get healed. Self-centered people, they still get blessed. But I want you to know this, that there are some blessings that can never touch the hands of selfish people. No matter how hard they pray. Yeah, because there is a rule in the kingdom of God. And that rule says, you don't get certain things you don't deserve. There are some things you can get from the kingdom of God even when you don't deserve it. Because someone makes you deserve them, which we know him is Jesus. Yeah, but when you are coming closer to receiving some other benefits in the kingdom of God, you will be disqualified if you are selfish. Yeah, you'll be disqualified. All these things is written in our heart. But many of you deny the truth. Even the truth that keeps coming to your heart, your conscience. Yeah, all these things are written on our conscience. They are written on our conscience. Yeah, but you keep denying the fact, the truth that is arising from your heart in form of or through conscience. Yeah, so let us not deceive ourselves. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sow, the same he shall reap. Yeah, so there are some things that you have to deserve it in the kingdom of God. If you don't deserve it, you cannot have it. You have to work towards it. Yeah, if you don't pay the price, you can't have it. Of course, there are some other things that you can have without deserving, but there are some that you can't have. You must deserve it. Yeah, and how do you deserve blessings, benefits from a selfless kingdom when you are so selfish? How do you get blessings, helps from selfless Jesus when you are so self-centered? It's not possible. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, because God is going to be making a great mistake in giving certain things to someone that is full of self. It means God is going to be creating a disaster for his kingdom. Because those who are being controlled by self are worse than Satan. Yeah, I'll repeat myself. Those who are being controlled by self, by flesh and self, they are worse than the devil. Yeah. Those who do not deny themselves to please God, crucify themselves to please God, they are worse than Satan. And you want to know why they are worse than Satan? Because The real enemy is not Satan. The real darkness is self. I've said it before. The real darkness is self, not the devil, not demons. Yeah, the real darkness is an inability to crucify self, to destroy self, and submit to God. That is where real darkness and real wickedness lies. Because this Satan that we now know about also became Satan through self. Self made Satan Satan. Yeah. So, who is the real enemy? Is it still Satan? Yeah, because Satan became Satan because of pride and because of rebellion. Yeah, so will you now say that the real darkness is Satan? No, the real darkness is what brought Satan down from glory. Because he was in glory. He was in the light. So the real darkness is what brought him down. And that is self, S-E-L-F. Yeah. That is the same thing that is bringing Christians down today. Yeah. So if you want to rule over darkness and over the kingdoms of darkness, crucify yourself first. Deny yourself first. Maybe I should use that word. Conquer yourself first. Then you will have unlimited power over darkness. But if you have not conquered yourself and your flesh, you can't conquer darkness. possible. And you can't conquer those that darkness have empowered. Before we pray, let us read Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man will come after me." So, are you after Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? If any man will come after me means if anyone will follow me, if anyone will be my disciple, if anyone will come into the kingdom of God, then let them first deny themselves. Let them first deny themselves. Yeah. So don't be like selfish people out there who are coming to Jesus for help. If you really want Jesus to help you, deny yourself. Surrender all to Jesus. Crucify yourself and your flesh. Don't care about self, about yourself. Care about only Him. Don't follow your own ways. Follow only His own ways. I pray that the Lord will help you. So we are going to be praying now. I'm sure that I'll pray for you and I'll pray on your water. I want you to talk to God. You're going to say, "Father, I want to be saved. You're going to say, "Father, I want to be saved. Help me to walk my salvation." Yeah, we are not saved yet until we make it to heaven. I believe you know that. None of us is saved yet. The salvation that we have is temporary until we make it to heaven. When we make it to heaven, then that is when we are saved. We are going to say, "Father, I want to be saved. Help me to walk out my salvation with fear, with obedience, with faithfulness." Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, "Father, I want to be saved. You sent Jesus to come and save my soul. And I want my soul to be saved. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Why do you think there are things in this world that is more important than the salvation of your soul? Why do you think making money is more important than the salvation of your soul? Why do you think marriage, getting married, is more important than the salvation of your soul? Why do you think having children is more important than the salvation of your soul? Say, Father, I want to be saved. Help me to work out my salvation. Now that I am still alive. Say, Father, I want to make it to heaven. Help me to live daily in holiness. Now that I'm still alive here on earth, now that I still have the chance to right my wrongs, say, Father, help me to work out my salvation. Help me to forgive people that I have to forgive. Say, help me to turn away from every sin I am still embracing. Say, Father, help me to work out my salvation. I want to be saved. Tell him that you want to be saved. If you miss heaven, you will suffer. I'm telling you. You know why we suffer? Because you have tasted of all these things. You have tasted the truth. You have heard about the truth. And you have tasted of God's power. You have received miracles from Jesus. Blessings from Jesus. Helps from Jesus. All those blessings, helps, miracles, they will stand against you in the day of judgment if you miss heaven. Everything you have received from Jesus, they will stand against you in judgment. It is better you never heard about Jesus and then die. Your punishment will not be as now that you even call yourself a Christian. So if you die and miss heaven, you will suffer. I'm telling you, you will suffer. You will regret that you knew Jesus. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Say, Father, I want to be saved. Lord, in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. We are going to pray. In our teaching, we talked about Jesus being the true shepherd. He cares more for you than anyone else in this world. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, help me to acknowledge and believe in Jesus as a true shepherd. Help me to trust Jesus for all my needs. Help me to depend on Jesus because he is a true shepherd. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. You need the Holy Spirit to keep reminding you that there is someone that cares for you than anyone else in this world, and that you should trust that person more than anyone. So Holy Spirit, help me to acknowledge and believe in Jesus as my true shepherd, who cares for me than anyone else in this world. The Holy Spirit, help me to trust in Jesus for all my needs. Help me to depend on Jesus for all my needs. If you are sick, Jesus knows about the sickness. If you have a problem, Jesus knows about that problem. Even before you go to the problem. Then why can't you trust Him to save you from that problem? Why are you so full of doubts and unbelief? Why are you so faithless? Say, Holy Spirit, help me to trust in Jesus for all my needs. Help me to always acknowledge that Jesus cares for me than anyone else in this world. So Holy Spirit, help me to always accept that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Lastly, you're going to pray. We talked about selfish people not being able to get certain blessings from the selfless Jesus. Do you know that it is possible you are not moving forward because you are still full of self-centeredness, because you are still selfish? You care only about yourself. You don't care about others. You don't care about the things of God. You only care about your own things. You don't care about helping people. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, deliver me from self, so that I can be qualified to receive anything from you. You're going to say, Father, deliver me from self, so that I can be qualified. The Bible says, men shall be lovers of their own selves than lovers of God. Some of you love yourself more than God. And then you love your own family. You don't care about other families out there, other people out there. You don't even care about your pastor, whether your pastor has food to eat or not. You are so selfish. And that is why God is not giving you certain blessings. Yeah. So you're going to say, Father, deliver me from self, so that I can be qualified to receive anything from you. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Show me a man that is free of self, a man that is selfless. Then I will tell you that man can receive anything from God. There is nothing God cannot give that man. A man that is selfless. I wish everyone would be selfless. I wish you will be selfless. The Father, deliver me from myself. The Father, deliver me from myself so that I can qualify to receive anything from you. You want God to use you for powerful miracles. You must be delivered from self first. God will not use you mightily when self is still alive in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. So now, I want to pray for you. I believe you have gotten your water ready, whether a bottle of water, a cup of water. Get it ready so I can pray on that for your healing and deliverance. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your presence and power. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have given to us for free. And thank you for many other things you are still giving to us because you care so much for us. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your determination to help us, to save us, to heal us, to deliver us, even to give us prosperity. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you show mercy on your people. As many that are here right now, hearing the sound of my voice, O Lord, show them mercy in the name of Jesus. Show your people mercy in the name of Jesus. I decree that the stronghold of darkness upon your life break into pieces right now in the name of Jesus. The covering of darkness on your spirit, soul, and body, every cloud of darkness that have covered your life like a blanket, I command fire from heaven to consume such darkness, such cloud, such blanket, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray that the healing power of Jesus enter into your water right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the deliverance power of Jesus enter into your water right now, in Jesus' name. Every spirit that is always waiting around you to terminate your miracle after you have been prayed for, I bind that spirit right now, in the name of Jesus. Today, you shall receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. As you drink this water, the fire of revival shall rise from your inner man, and you shall be strengthened and empowered and also delivered from your inside in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. you, Lord. In Jesus, unfailing name, I have prayed.